From Washington, VOA presents Issues in the News.
Welcome to Issues in the News. I'm Fred Barnes with the Weekly Standard Magazine, and joining me on the show this week are Linda Feldman, Washington Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and Stephen Collinson, Senior Reporter at CNN Politics. And here are the issues. FBI Director James Comey decided that Hillary Clinton had handled national security information carelessly on her private server, but he said she should not be prosecuted, and the Justice Department has decided not to prosecute her. Comey himself was grilled by a congressional committee about his decision. Presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump met with House and Senate Republicans with mixed results. And in Dallas, five police officers were killed by snipers at a rally to protest police shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota. And President Obama just decided to keep 8,000 troops in Afghanistan longer than expected. Well, I want to start with Dallas, Stephen, and I'll start with you. There were two very immediately controversial killings by police of civilians, one in Minnesota and one in Louisiana, touched off this protest. And yet this is much worse than anything I can remember. I mean, an open clash, snipers, five police killed, six wounded. What's your take?
Yeah, the issue in Dallas particularly, it seemed to be it was an organized attack. It wasn't just something that broke out at the edges of a rally. It seemed like it was premeditated. We don't know all the details of it yet. You know, it's another one of those moments when race thrusts itself right to the front of the political debate. We've been having a very divisive presidential election campaign. We're going to see now, I think, whether Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it's a test of leadership for them in many ways, whether they can cool the rhetoric, perhaps find a way, you know, for the country to get through this without it getting worse, without it escalating. President Obama landed in Warsaw on Thursday evening, and he went straight to his hotel and gave a statement basically calling upon all America's political leaders to try and, you know, stop this whole thing getting stuck in the political scrum and the usual arguments. So it really is a test of leadership. And, you know, you have to say that there's a good chance that this is going to get worse before it gets better.
Linda?
Yes, I also think this is, with the Republican convention less than 2 weeks away, that may be a bad omen, could be heading in for a long, hot summer. I was relieved to see, in terms of the political dimension of this, relieved to see that Donald Trump, his first tweet on the events in Dallas was respectful and not blaming anybody. But I'm worried what could come next. I mean, Donald Trump never misses an opportunity to put his foot into a very, very sensitive issue like race and violence.
And he always says, and almost always says at his rallies and speeches, that he is a strong supporter of police. And police, of course, are very much a part of this controversy. Well, we don't know much more at the moment, so I'm going to move on unless anybody wants to add anything. We have the Hillary Clinton case. The FBI director, I don't think we've ever had one, Stephen, step forward like this. Rather than just quietly give his determination about the case, the email case, and whether Hillary Clinton had violated the law and should be prosecuted, because there was some national security information that, and classified material that was sent over her email, and yet he announced it himself suddenly, all of a sudden. What about it, Stephen?
Right. I mean, this is just an example of how politically charged this case has become. We had that encounter between former President Bill Clinton and Attorney General Loretta Lynch on the tarmac at Phoenix Airport, which led to all sorts of accusations that, you know, this was being fixed and everything else. So in many ways, I don't think the FBI director had much alternative but to come out publicly and give his conclusions of this year-long probe into Hillary Clinton's emails. What was very striking about it was perhaps not the fact that he chose not to level charges against Hillary Clinton, but the fact that he was so withering in his criticism of her handling of classified information, saying she was extremely careless. So he got hauled up to Capitol Hill, this big hearing in front of the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee, and he really was put on the spot by Republicans who just were absolutely disbelieving that Hillary Clinton got away with it again, as they would see it. I mean, I feel that perhaps the Republicans are pointing at the wrong target. Instead of going after Comey, they might be better off stressing the fact that Hillary Clinton, a potential commander-in-chief, has been accused by the head of the FBI of being reckless with national security information. That would seem to me to at least dent her claim that only she has the steadiness, the qualifications, and the responsibility needed of a president and a case she's making that Donald Trump doesn't have those qualities. So I think, you know, as a matter of sort of politics, they might be better off concentrating on that rather than James Comey, who's a very respected figure in Washington.
Indeed. I think that's a good point. Linda?
Yeah, no, it was really a terrible week for Hillary Clinton. I mean, the indictment by Comey, it wasn't literally an indictment, but effectively an indictment in the court of public opinion, was absolutely devastating. And yet, Mrs. Clinton's chief political opponent, Donald Trump, completely bungled it. He made it all about Comey. He made it all about a system that is quote-unquote rigged and didn't take Comey's own words and hang her with them. Now, those words are all on tape, all on videotape, both his press conference and his testimony in the House. And so you know that those will there's the fodder for political ads until November.
I'm going to get into weeds on one point here, argued about in this case, and about Comey's decision. He said, Stephen, as you just mentioned, he said Hillary Clinton had been extremely careless in handling of national security information. But he said she was guilty of gross negligence, that fits in with what the law says, and he didn't say that. Hard to see a big difference between being extremely careless and grossly negligent, but that's what he said his decision hung on.
Yeah, it's one of these legal technicalities that are very difficult for the layman to understand. In fact, he spent most of his hearing on Capitol Hill trying to explain to these Republican lawmakers exactly that difference, that should have done something, must have done something, is not enough. Hillary Clinton had to be proven to have, you know, intentionally tried to break the law, and that's the where the sort of gray area here lies. It was interesting, you know, watching a lot of those lawmakers who were basically setting themselves up as amateur prosecutors trying to teach the attorney, the FBI chief, who was deputy general in the Bush administration, the law. But I think it's another one of these occasions when the Republicans thought perhaps they had Hillary Clinton in a very difficult position, and notwithstanding the great political damage she's, you know, suffered from this affair, she seems to be getting, you know, away without facing legal sanctions, and I think a lot of them are still very surprised about that and can't understand it.
You mentioned there's some being amateur prosecutors. One of them was a prosecutor, and that's Trey Gowdy, the congressman from South Carolina. And there was one episode, I think it was Trey Gowdy, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, where he actually did something I thought was politically smart, and he would say, well, Hillary Clinton has said this, and then asked the FBI director, was she being honest? Is that true or not? And he went down a list, and frequently Comey would say, that's not true. Other than that, in 5 hours, I don't think, politically speaking, the Republicans made much headway.
And she in fact, may not be out of the woods. So Comey was asked, did she lie effectively? Because she had made various assertions both in public and we assume in private during her 3.5 hours of interview with the FBI last Saturday. And he wouldn't say that she had lied, but he said, we didn't investigate that because we needed a referral. Well, now they have their referral.
Right.
So there's going to be more. And the State Department has reopened its investigation into this. So she's not completely out of the woods. Yeah.
Yeah, this helps her an awful lot, though, not his saying that she shouldn't be indicted. And then of course, the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, said, okay, yes. And, I mean, she didn't really have much choice there anyway. So the case is over as far as the Justice Department is concerned at the moment. But we're going to hear so much about it. I was struck by how quickly, I guess I shouldn't have been, I wasn't surprised, I was struck. Democrats and friendly columnists in the media, mainly liberal columnists, came to her defense, rallied around her, sort of, you know, got the wagons out and surrounded her and protected her. I didn't hear practically any criticize her. And they said, several said, I went down to see some of their statements. And one of the things they said was, well, she has really already paid a penalty here. This case has been going on for a long time. You heard what Comey said and so on. And that's not the same as a prosecution, but it is a fair point. She has suffered a bunch. And the other is that the Washington Post said this editorially, and so did a bunch of others, say that, well, look, there's a lesson here, and she obviously has learned it, and she better show that she's learned it. I thought it was important for Hillary Clinton that all her entire party was out there defending her.
Yes, I think so. And that's one difference in this election cycle. There's no doubt that, you know, some Bernie Sanders holdouts notwithstanding, the Democratic Party is more united behind their nominee than the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And on that point, I think, you know, the Republicans are handicapped by the fact that their presidential nominee, Donald Trump, has been unable to sort of prosecute this case against Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. I mean, a conventional politician would have been on every TV show in the morning, and he would have been driving the sole message that Hillary Clinton has been proven that she's not fit to be president. Donald Trump did a few tweets, he issued a statement, he talked about it in a couple of rallies, but then he sort of went on to one of his meandering screeds about just about everything in Donald Trump's life, and he constantly steps on his message. So I don't think the Republicans are getting the political value from this situation, which, after all, sort of reflects on Hillary Clinton's biggest vulnerability, questions about her character and honesty, that they might get if they had a more conventional nominee.
I think you're right, Linda. We're going to get to Trump's visit to at least Capitol Hill in just a moment. But what about that point that Stephen made? I agree. Trump seems to... There's a message out there that would be helpful to him politically, but he doesn't seem to grasp it.
I have to think that he does have a few professional campaign consultants in his midst, and I have to think that they are absolutely killing themselves over this. They've been handed this enormous political gift, and I'm sure they told Donald Trump what to say, and I'm certain that he ignored it. And we know that Donald Trump only listens to himself, and this is clear evidence.
He does. He does travel with and was with, I believe, Newt Gingrich, the former House Speaker, and someone Trump is considering as a vice presidential running mate, who was with him. I'm sure Newt Gingrich, who's been around Washington a long time and is a very smart political figure, would have said, jump on this.
Yeah.
And you're right, Linda. I've looked into this at times and found there, I can count on one hand the times that Donald Trump has actually taken political advice. He gets a lot of it. He just doesn't follow it.
Yeah, it seems that he's still in many ways running his successful Republican primary campaign, in which, you know, turning on Republicans, sort of focusing on himself, pushing at the sort of discord in politics was a good tactic. When you're running in a much broader electorate, that might not be the best thing to do. But we'll find out in November. He's made fools of everybody so far, so who knows?
I'm going to take a break here. I have one more question about Trump and Hillary Clinton. But first, let me remind you that you're listening to Issues in the News, coming to you on the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your moderator, Fred Barnes, of the Weekly Standard. And joining me today are Stephen Collinson of CNN Politics and Linda Feldman of the Christian Science Monitor. And this is a reminder that you can listen to Issues online as a podcast. The program is also available for free download on iTunes. Just click on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/archive/issues-in-the-news. If you didn't get that, it was voanews.com/archive/issues-in-the-news. Here is my verdict question, Linda, and that is, was Hillary Clinton, who comes out of that in better shape? Hillary Clinton's not going to be prosecuted, but there's a lot for Republicans to jump on, the things that the FBI director said. Who comes out of this better? It's hard to—I am having a hard time figuring it out.
Well, she comes out of it better because if this had resulted in an indictment, her campaign would have been over.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that she's still alive makes her a winner. But everything else that Comey said was just a massive indictment of her judgment and character, and is political. You know, even if Donald Trump is not handling this properly in the political context, every other Republican on the ballot can.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to learn soon who his running mate is, and maybe that person will take this ball and run with it and really try to play catch up on getting some more mileage with swing voters on this issue.
Yeah, Trump's going to have to get on it. He's got the biggest megaphone. But anyway, what is the verdict? Who came out
I agree that, you know, when the alternative is indictment, if that didn't happen, Hillary Clinton could see this as a success. Mm-hmm. I think people in her campaign, you know, despite Comey's vigorous criticism, are quite relieved about how things turned out and how Thursday's hearing turned out. They think that it was actually an example of overreach by Republicans and that the public is going to tune it out. You know, I don't think that anything that happens right now is going to change the public's view of Hillary Clinton. People who like her, you know, love her. People who find her character and politics questionable are not going to be swayed by anything at this late stage. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a draw. Who knows?
All right. I'm going to turn to Donald Trump is, again, inescapable. He came to Washington, spoke to Republicans in the House of Representatives, about 200 of them, spoke to most of the senators. I think there are 54 Republican senators, 41 showed up for this meeting. You know, as ever, Donald Trump has a hard time achieving unity with Republicans, elected Republicans, the elders, the leaders. And instead, the story coming out of that meeting was, well, he got along pretty well, but he got in fights.
Right.
He got in a fight with Jeff Flake, the senator from Arizona, who says he wants to endorse Trump, but he's just not ready to do it yet. And I guess he was critical of Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, who's one who says he'll never vote for Trump. Mm-hmm. And then there was Senator Kirk of Illinois, who's in great trouble running for re-election, who wasn't there. And I think he criticized him. And then Trump said that Trump will win Illinois in the general election. Well, Illinois has become a pretty concentrated Democratic state in presidential elections. Well, anyway, my question, I'll go to you, Linda. Trump just doesn't seem to be able to discipline himself. With Senator Flake, he should have said, after Senator Flake said something that was critical, he said, well, he could have said, well, you know, Senator, I'm sorry we disagree on this, but I hope we'll come together and you can endorse me. But he didn't. He fired back.
Right. No, I mean, this was just the classic example of just how thin-skinned Donald Trump is. If he's got a room full of senators mm-hmm. who are, some of whom, fighting for their political lives— mm-hmm. and others just not wanting to lose the majority in the Senate, which is right on the edge. And they want to help him. I mean, mm-hmm. they, even if they don't like him and aren't happy that he got the nomination, he's it. He's all they've got.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns on them. Yeah. I mean, just extraordinary.
Yeah, I don't get it, Stephen. Explain it to me.
You know, it's another indication mm-hmm. of how everything in Donald Trump's campaign is about Donald Trump. It mm-hmm. seems that his own feelings of being slighted. I mean, they pretty much make up half of his stump speech, whether he's talking about the media or an opponent. It does make you wonder, you know, if Donald Trump were to become president, how he would enact some kind of legislative agenda. I mean, mm-hmm. after all, these are the guys you need to vote for your priorities. And if this is the way you treat them, it seems to be taking, like, you know, Lyndon Johnson's tactics of intimidation of mm-hmm. lawmakers to a new degree. You know, I think it's just another sign that Donald Trump is not a normal mm-hmm. politician. He doesn't follow the patterns of politicians, mm-hmm. but sooner or later, we have to ask the question, does he have to become more conventional to win the election? And if he's to win the election to be a successful president, he doesn't show any signs that he's sort of evolving that way.
You know, I think the answer is clearly yes. And when Donald Trump gives a speech from a text that he reads without ad-libbing or digressing and uses a teleprompter usually, you know, as President Obama does and many politicians do, so he can look like he's not actually reading a text when he is. When he does that, he's very effective. And he can make policy points. He gave a speech on trade and globalization and some days ago that I thought was a very coherent speech. You wouldn't have to agree with it. He's a protectionist, not a free trader. And yet, on that, he did it very well. But he doesn't do those speeches very often, Linda.
Right. No, because I think he believes that he has to do them. For him, it's like eating his spinach. He's all about being entertaining. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he thinks he's being boring.
Mm-hmm.
And for Trump, it's all about getting that reaction out of the audience mm-hmm. and seeing them laughing and clapping and cheering. And they don't do that when he's giving a prepared text teleprompter speech. Mm-hmm. So this is the Trump we've got.
This is the Trump we've got. And he is thin-skinned. You're right. Okay. President Obama, it wasn't the biggest announcement in the world, but it was is going to keep 8,000 troops in Afghanistan longer than he had planned to keep 8,000 troops in Afghanistan. What should we read into that, Stephen?
Sort of ultimately, it's the failure of a campaign promise to win the war in Afghanistan, which he styled when he was running for office in 2008 as the right war, as opposed to the Iraq war, which he sort of said was, you know, a dumb war.
Mm-hmm.
The President Obama clearly wanted to get all U.S. troops out of Afghanistan before he left office. He's sort of steadily stepped away from that over the last few years, but it's clear that Afghanistan is not sufficiently stable and able to take care of its own defense, you know, in such a way that President Obama and NATO would have liked. There's, you know, the Taliban is still pursuing its, you know, years-long war against the government. There are fears that Al-Qaeda could reconstitute. There are, in eastern Afghanistan, there's even, you know, talk of ISIS being able to get a toehold. So, you know, President Obama said something which I don't think we would have heard him say a few years ago. He said, you know, I have to deal with the reality of the world as it is. That seems to be an evolution from his position that the tide of war is receding that he was sort of messaging a few years ago.
Linda?
Yeah, no, this is a real blow to his legacy that he will not be able to fulfill his promise of completely pulling out of Afghanistan, just along as he had promised, say, to close Guantanamo. He also, it just shows that this is a no-win situation for him, because he's actually, in announcing the troop levels that he expects to leave in place when he leaves office, it's below what we have now. So people like John McCain and other hawks are unhappy, but then the people who want us out altogether are unhappy. So this is, you can see in his face, this is just painful for him.
You know, another thing on the subject of President Obama that is I think, unique, and you know, I've covered presidents for a lot of years, and that is that he is out actively campaigning for Hillary Clinton, but particularly attacking Donald Trump. I mean, I think he's taken on the role that normally, well, I guess Hillary Clinton's vice presidential running mate will take that, but won't get the attention that President Obama does.
Right. I mean, I think there are a number of reasons for that. First of all, President Obama is still very popular among Democrats, and he's going to play a role in bringing the party together after the primary battle between Clinton and Sanders. You know, his approval rating is just north of 50%, which isn't too bad for a president, you know, in his eighth year of office. And I think there's a personal dimension to this as well. I think President Obama sees in Donald Trump a repudiation of everything he thinks that his presidency stood for, this idea of progress towards more tolerance. You know, the way that Donald Trump speaks is completely different than the sort of nuance-laden speeches of President Obama. And I think it's, although he clearly does want to help Hillary Clinton because she is the key to his legacy being solidified on issues like Obamacare and other things, I think he's campaigning as much for his own vision of what the country should be as much as Hillary Clinton. That's why it's really very interesting. And he's, you know, he's still, we saw when he stood with Hillary Clinton on the stage this week, he's still a very effective political performer and a much more effective person on the stump than Hillary Clinton is.
You know, one thing I think everybody agrees, Republicans and Democrats, is that Barack Obama, he is a great campaigner, and not only for himself. I think he's been very effective so far in his attacks on Trump and his support of Hillary Clinton.
No, absolutely. Although I think that in a way he has to be careful in his attacks on Trump. He clearly relishes it. I mean, I'm reminded constantly of Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011 with Trump sitting in the audience and making fun of him. Because, of course, Trump had trolled Obama over his place of birth and had forced him to release his long-form birth certificate. So this is, there's been this long-running feud between those two. But if Obama just spends too much time going after Trump, it just, I think it brings him down to Trump's level. And what every politician has to remember is that there are a lot of people out there who support Donald Trump. And even if Trump loses in November, those people will still be around, and they are disaffected and unhappy, and the next president is going to have to deal with them, whether it's Hillary or Trump.
You know, I'll just note in closing that as we've been critical of Trump's campaign style, he does seem to be getting inching up slightly closer to Hillary in polls. I mean, the race for the presidency is not over yet. Anyway, that's all the time we have. Joining us today were Linda Feldman, Washington Bureau Chief for the Christian Science Monitor, and Stephen Collinson, Senior Reporter at CNN Politics. Our engineers were Thomas Blodgett and Xiaogang Chong. I'm Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. Thanks for listening.